So I've been wanting to do another historical literature type audio for quite a while, but I wanted to find something that wasn't in the public domain, and a friend suggested that I do a reading from Fanny Hill. Fanny Hill is by John Cullund. The full title is Fanny Hill, Memoirs of a Woman of Pleasure, and it was published in 1748. So, some different language, but it is definitely erotica. So, yeah, I'm going to start up my toy and then read a selection from this book. Okay. Wow. God. All right. Okay. All right. Reading. Oh, fuck. Okay. Don't want to start because. Oh my god, this feels good. Okay. I was then lying at length upon that very couch, the scene of Mr. H's polite joys, in an undress which was with all the art of negligence flowing loose, and in a most tempting disorder, no stays, no hoop, no encumbrance whatsoever. On the other hand, he stood at a little distance that gave me a full view of a fine-featured, shapely, healthy country lad, breathing the sweets of fresh-blooming youth. His hair, which was of a perfect shining black, played to his face in natural side curls, and was set out with a smart tuck-up behind. New buckskin breeches that, clipping close, showed the shape of a plump, well-made thigh. White stockings, garter-laced livery, shoulder knot, altogether composed a figure in which the beauties of pure flesh and blood appeared under no disgrace from the lowness of a dress to which a certain spruce neatness seems peculiarly fitted. I bid him come towards me and give me his letter, at the same time throwing down carelessly a book I had in my hands. He colored and came within reach of delivering me the letter, which he held out awkwardly enough for me to take, with his eyes riveted on my bosom, which was, through the design disorder of my handkerchief, sufficiently bare and rather shaded than hid. I, smiling in his face, took the letter, and immediately catching gently hold of his shirt sleeve, drew him towards me, blushing and almost trembling, for surely his extreme bashfulness and utter inexperience called for, at least, all the advances to encourage him. His body was now conveniently inclined towards me, and just softly chucking his smooth, beardless chin, I asked him if he was afraid of a lady, and with that taking and carrying his hand to my breasts, I pressed it tenderly to them. They were now finely furnished and raised in flesh, so that, panting with desire, they rose and fell in quick heaves under his touch. At this, the boy's eyes began to lighten with all the fires of inflamed nature, and his cheeks flushed with a deep scarlet, tongue-tied with joy, rapture, and bashfulness. He could not speak, but then his looks, his emotion, sufficiently satisfied me that my train had taken and that I had no disappointment to fear. My lips, which I threw in his way so that as he could not escape kissing them, fixed, fired, and emboldened him. And now, glancing my eyes toward that part of his dress which covered the essential object of enjoyment, I plainly discovered the swell and commotion there, and as I was now too far advanced to stop in so fair a way, and was indeed no longer able to contain myself or wait the slower progress of his maiden bashfulness, for such it seemed and really was, I stole my hand upon his thighs, down one of which I could both see and feel a stiff, hard body confined by his breeches that my fingers could discover no end to. Curious then, and eager to unfold so alarming a mystery, playing, as it were, with his buttons, which were bursting ripe from the active force within, those of his waistband and foreflap flew open at a touch, when out it started, and now, disengaged from the shirt, I saw, with wonder and surprise, what? Not the plaything of a boy, not the weapon of a man, but a maypole of so enormous a standard that had proportions been observed, it must have belonged to a young giant. Its prodigious size made me shrink again, yet I could not, without pleasure, behold, and even ventured to feel such a length, such a breadth of animated ivory, perfectly well turned and fashioned, the proud stiffness of which distended its skin, whose smooth polish and velvet softness might vie with that of the most delicate of our sex, and whose exquisite whiteness was not a little set off by a sprout of black curling hair round the root, through the jetty sprigs of which the fair skin showed, as in a fine evening you may have remarked the clear light, either through the branchwork of distant trees overtopping the summit of a hill. Then the broad and bluish casted incarnate of the head, and blue serpentines of its veins, altogether composed the most striking assemblage of figure and colors in nature. In short, it stood an object of terror and delight. Oh, fuck. But what was yet more surprising, the owner of this natural curiosity, through the want of occasions in the strictness of his home breeding, and the little time he had been in town, not having afforded him one, was hitherto an absolute stranger, in practice at least, to the use of all that manhood he was no nobly stocked with. And it now fell to my lot to stand this first trial of it, if I could resolve to run the risks of its disproportion to that tender part of me, which such an oversized machine was very fit to lay in ruins. But it was now of the latest to deliberate, for by this time the young fellow, overheated with the present objects, and too high-mettled to be longer curbed in by that modesty and awe which had hitherto restrained him, ventured under the stronger impulse and instructive partnership of nature alone, to slip his hands, trembling with eager, impetuous desires, under my petticoats, and seeing, I suppose, nothing extremely severe in my looks to stop or dash him, he feels out and seizes, gently, the center spot of his ardors. Oh, then, the fiery touch of his fingers determines me, and my fears melting away before the growing intolerable heat, my thighs disclose of themselves and yield all liberty to his hand, and now a favorable movement giving my petticoats a toss. The avenue lay too fair, too open, to be missed. He is now upon me. I had placed myself with a jet under him, as commodious and open as possible to his attempts, which were untoward enough for his machine, meeting with no inlet, bore and battered stiffly against me in random pushes. Oh, now above, now below, now beside his point, till, burning with impatience from its irritating touches, I guided gently with my hand this furious engine to where my young novice was now to be taught his first lesson of pleasure. Thus he nicked at length the warm an insufficient orifice, but he was made to find no breach practicable, and mine, though so often entered, was still far from wide enough to take him easily in. Fuck. By my direction, however, the head of his unwieldy machine was so critically pointed that, feeling him fore right against the tender opening, a favorable motion from me met his timely thrust, by which the lips of it, strenuously dilated, gave way to his thus assisted impetuosity, so that we might both feel that he had gained a lodgment. Pursuing then his point, he stood by violent and, to me, most painful, piercing thrusts, wedges himself at length so far in as to be now tolerably secure of his entrance. Here he stuck, and I now felt such a mixture of pleasure and pain as there is no giving a definition of. I dreaded alike his splitting me farther up or his withdrawing. I could not bear either to keep or part with him. Oh, fuck. The sense of pain, however, prevailing from his prodigious size and stiffness, acting upon me in those continued rapid thrusts which with he furiously pursued his penetration, made me cry out gently, "Oh, my dear, you hurt me." This was enough to check the tender, respectful boy, even in his mid-career, and he immediately drew out the sweet cause of my complaint, whilst his eyes eloquently expressed at once his grief for hurting me, and his reluctance at dislodging from quarters of which the warmth and closeness had given him a gust of pleasure that he was now desire-mad to satisfy, and yet too much novice not to be afraid of my withholding his relief on account of the pain he had put me to. But I was, myself, far from being pleased with his having too much regarded my tender exclaims, for now, more and more fired with the object before me, as it stood with the fiercest erection, unbonneted, and displaying its broad vermilion head, I first gave the youth a re-encouraging kiss, which he repaid me with a fervor that seemed at once to thank me and bribe my farther compliance, and soon replaced myself in a posture to receive, at all risks, the renewed invasion, which he did not delay an instant, for being presently remounted, I once more felt the smooth, hard gristle forcing an entrance, which he achieved rather easier than before. Pained, however, as I was, with efforts of gaining a complete admission, which he was so regretful as to manage by gentle degrees, I took care not to complain. In the meantime, the soft, straight passage gradually loosens, yields, and stretched to its utmost bearing by the stiff, thick, indriven engine, sensible at once to the ravishing pleasure of the feel and the pain of the distension, let him in about halfway. And when all the most nervous activity he now exerted to further his penetration gained him not an inch of his purpose, for while he hesitated there, the crisis of pleasure overtook him, and the close compressure of the warm surrounding fold drew from him the ecstatic gush. Even before mine was ready to meet it, kept up by the pain I had endured in the course of engagement from the insufferable size of his weapon, though it was not as yet in above half its length. I expected then, but without wishing it, that he would draw, but was pleasantly disappointed, for he was not to be let off so. The well-breathed youth, hot-mettled and flesh with genial juices, was now fairly in for making me know my driver. As soon then as he had made short pause, waking, as it were, out of the trance of pleasure, in which every sense seemed lost for a while, whilst with his eyes shut and short, quick breathings, he had yielded down to his maiden tribute. He still kept his post, yet unsated with enjoyment and solacing in these so new delights, till his stiffness, which had scarce perceptibly remitted, being thoroughly recovered to him, who had not once unsheathed, he proceeded afresh to cleave and open to himself an entire entry into me, which was not a little made easy to him by the balsamic injection with which he had just plentifully moistened the whole internals of the passage. Redoubling then the active energy of his thrusts, favored by the fervid appetite of my motions. Oh, the soft oiled warts can no longer stand so effectual a picklock, but yield and open him at an entrance. And now, with conspiring nature, and my industry, strong to aid him, he pierces, penetrates, and at length, winning his way, inch by inch, and gets entirely in, and finally a mighty thrust sheaves it up to the guard, on the information of which, from the close jointure of our bodies, insomuch that the hair on both sides perfectly interweaved and encircled together, the eyes of the transported youth sparkled with more joyous fires, and all his looks and motions acknowledged excess of pleasure, which I now began to share, for I felt him in my very vitals. I was quite sick with delight, stirred beyond bearing with its furious agitations within me, and gorged and crammed even to surfeit. Thus I lay gasping, panting under him, till his broken breathings, faltering accents, eyes twinkling with humid fires, lunges more furious, and an increased stiffness gave me to hail the approaches of the second period. It came, and the sweet youth, overpowered with the ecstasy, died away in my arms, melting in a flood that shot in general warmth into the innermost recesses of my body, every conduit of which, dedicated for that pleasure, was on flow to mix with it. Thus we continued for some instants, lost, breathless, senseless of everything and in every part but those favorite ones of nature, in which all that we enjoyed of life and sensation was now totally concentrated.